Good afternoon, listeners and viewers, and welcome to another episode of Disrupt Ed, where we talk to the disruptors, those thought leaders out there who are also doing something and have what we call a very high GSD index. They get shit done. And so today we're going to have a very unusual and very distinguished guest on the show. But before we introduce Dr. Langley, I want to share a little bit about where Disrupt Ed is going. We started out as a podcast talking about the disruption in education, and then our community grew and it's exploded. We have over 30,000 followers now. And so people ask me all the time, what do you talk about on Disrupt Ed? And is this off the beaten path, or it seems like it could go in a lot of different directions? I think where it's going is this. We are living in a 5G wired, technology enabled, workforce augmented, globally interdependent world that is on steroids in terms of the exponential pace and monumental change undergoing the entire planet right now. And we have never seen change on this scale. And when you add a global pandemic, a war in Europe, and a host of other things to worry about, in this disrupted world, we're seeing more and more mental health crises and challenges. And so I think it's important when someone asks me, what do we talk about that's important on Disrupt Ed? We talk about how to make sense of this disruption. We talk about how to anchor ourselves in it, how to address the challenges it brings, but also how to avail ourselves of the opportunities that all these new things with technology and other developments will bring to us. Because it's not all anxiety producing. Some of it, in fact, a lot of it is very exciting. Witness some of our guests on recent shows. I'll just name a few that come immediately to mind. We just launched an episode with Rick Van Zuro, the CEO of Freight Farms. And he went from managing and running Panera and Wahlburgers, large restaurant chains, to listening to his middle school daughter's request, Dad, why don't you work on something to save the planet? And he went off and went to work as the CEO of Freight Farms. And they are building container food systems that require far less energy, far less water to produce acres of fresh food around the world. So now he's not only running a business, he is working to save the planet and to reduce food insecurity across the globe. Mark Nash was with us a few months back talking about their developments in the medical device area and how Industry 4.0 allowed them to build a digital transformative manufacturing environment where they have reimagined how to treat dialysis, and they have impacted so many people's lives. Chris Kaufman was here with us to talk about StockX and the Internet of Things and how people can traffic and understand the value of goods that they want to collect or explore buying. So all these things are going on. And then, of course, our good friend Kevin Zinger and his 3D printed car. These are monumental changes in the way we're building things, the way we're making things. What happens? Sometimes we get a little anxious, right? It starts to be a lot. It starts to be too much. And again, that's why I think we've seen massive increases in the way people are handling their mental health. That's what part of the Great Resignation is about, is people are resetting against a new normal. So today, welcome from across the ocean in England, we have with us today Dr. Joy Langley. Dr. Joy Langley has been a therapist and a counselor, and she has worked with countless individuals to manage their anxiety and to help them live meaningful, empowered lives. Dr. Joy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I've really been excited about having you.
My pleasure to be on here, Ron. And it's lovely that you promoted me to doctor, but one day I might get to that level. So perhaps you can see into the future, Ron. You've read my tea leaves or something. Yeah, you can. But yeah, I have very, very good qualifications. A doctor would be lovely to add to it one day. Absolutely. Dr. Joy, it sounds amazing.
I think it sounds spot on. So tell us, Joy, tell us what what brought you into the world of counseling, because you had been in a number of different careers, and this was one of your pivots over the course of a very successful career in other fields. You were an independent music producer and PR agency you started. I mean, you've done a lot of interesting things. What brought you into therapy?
Yes, for me, the therapy, Ron, was because I'd gone through quite a difficult breakup and I really needed to understand who I was. By that point, I was just gone past 40. I think I was 41. And it's a time of life when I thought, you know what, I want to restart my life, but I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to find the wrong partner. I had a child who was 7, and I thought, I need to get this right. And it just seemed like a good idea to understand more about me, because we forget to do that. We spend a lot of our lives just saying, oh, I am the way I am. And I used to say that too, but I didn't want to make a mistake and I didn't want to get it wrong. So I decided to do a bit of a study, a very, very small course, which then developed into a longer course. And then 4 years later, I came out as a qualified therapist and I thought, great. And I did understand a lot about me, even though, Ron, I went in with the understanding that I might learn a lot about you. But you have to know who you are before you can help other people, because your own problems, your own ideas can overlap, and that wouldn't be useful to the person in front of you.
I think that's a really good point. So tell me, in this disrupted world of work and learning, are you seeing a lot more patients, and are you seeing a lot more patients specifically that are carrying the burdens of what's going on around them more so than before?
I see a lot of patients, but I've sort of changed my business model. So I'm seeing less of my clinical patients and I'm moving more across to people involved in business, because business owners are a special breed of person in that we kind of are choosing to have more stress by becoming a business owner. So I've moved more across into that field. So I'm working with quite a few business women who are, at the moment, a lot of women, but I also work with men. But the women are perhaps a little bit more open about the fact that their personal lives overlap with their business lives, and that can be a problem. So I'm working with them a lot on anxiety and stress, overwhelm. And then sometimes their personal life, which sneaks in the back door, relationships with their partners and their children. So, yeah. Whether I'm seeing more, I don't think I'm seeing more because I've changed the way in which I'm working, Ron. But like you, I read the news, I listen to stuff, and yeah, there's a lot more happening to people, given that the very difficult situation that we've been through, really, as you said, unprecedented. I'm old, Ron, in that respect, and I have never ever had a pandemic situation happening all of my life. The fear that brought up in me was shocking. I had the tools to deal with it, which was good, but it didn't stop me from being terrified that it was the end of the world, Ron. It really felt like it.
I think you're absolutely right, Joy. And I think that for many people, the pandemic unleashed a whole lot of hidden demons and brought to the surface a lot of things that we hadn't really had time to step back and think about. And I think that was happening globally, which made it all that much more awesome in terms of the impact. It was seismic in its scope. I want to go back to one thing that I want to correct you on. And I would really, really suggest that you not describe yourself as old, because we're the same age. I think we're both in our 30s for the second time, and we're more informed 30-somethings. So
I like that.
We're just second time.
I love that. And I've got another theory around age, because I think that when I was younger, I got ignored because I was quite sort of, you know, I was really attractive, actually. And I think people didn't take me seriously. And I hated that, Ron. I did not like not being taken seriously. And I always wanted to be wise. I wanted to get older. I wanted to have that kind of, you know, importance and gravitas when I spoke. So I am really quite proud of my age, and I am over 50. So for me, I reset the clock when I got to 50 and I put it back to zero. So for me, I am now in my kind of, you know, infancy, going to be a teenager soon. I have that kind of, you know, energy and excitement, but I have all this wisdom. And I love that space.
I think you're in a wonderful space. And I'll just, for our viewing and listening audience, you're listening to Dr. Joy, we're going to call her. And Joy is a clinical therapist and is working with business owners now to help them turn stress into strength. And I think in this disrupted world, we couldn't be asking for a better intervention than to help us inoculate ourselves from some of the stresses that all of this monumental disruption causes. And so, Joy, I think your service is invaluable to so many people. The question I have for you is, when you think about people going through all these changes and they come to you, your mantra has always been move from stress to strength. And in our short time of knowing each other over the past couple months, being in a class together and getting acquainted with each other, I've come to realize you have some really, really powerful tools to help people address that strength and actually flip it so that it becomes a strength. And so I'd like you to share a little bit more with people how you do that, because the voodoo that you do is pretty special here.
The voodoo that you do, I love that. I was going to say, Ron, are we on? So we're now in the rhyme game. I love it. We can become rappers, couldn't we, Ron?
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think the tools that we use are quite simple, and I like to keep it simple, because in that moment when your body is doing what it's meant to do, which is, if there were a little rustle in the bush over there, or you heard a click of a door in your room, I want you to respond. Okay. So the body is really well equipped at giving you what I call your energy. Adrenaline rushes into your body, gives you that ability to be fast and quick and move, makes you focus. It also gives you that alertness that you need. So you can't ignore the benefits of adrenaline. What's happening for us now is that it's being triggered for very petty reasons. You know, I've lost my phone, or I've had a notification on my computer, or for me this morning, my car, the battery's gone flat on it. I'm thinking, oh, that's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. Being stuck in a traffic jam, having to see your boss, having had an argument with someone, these things are not the end of the world. So we kind of lost sight of what really, really is big. And the body knows what is big. It's here to help you to survive. So if there's an animal in the room, Ron, with you right now, or me, we can have a look around. No lion, no tiger. Okay, that's great. I also asked you to check out whether there's any fear from, flood or from fire. Have a check. Look around. Are your feet like dangling in water?
No.
None for you, Ron. None for me. My feet aren't in water. Any fear of fire? Is your skin feeling quite hot? Or, you know, no. So really, you have the power to reset that and look at it slightly differently. Don't be annoyed at your body responding that way. You don't ever want to lose its response, because really we are almost attuned to being quite pessimistic, Ron. The body is meant to survive. We're meant to keep the human race going. We're not meant to be wiping ourselves out. So if we didn't have this fear response, Ron, me and you might be on a lovely, you know, on the beach, but we're on the top of a cliff and the water's lovely and blue. And we might both say, let's just jump in now, Ron. I would like something in me and you to kick in, Ron, to say, hang on, do you think there's any rocks below? Or hang on, my favorite one, do you think there are any sharks in the water? So I need you to think about that, Ron. Right. And in that moment, if you know the answer is no, we're perfectly safe, then jump in, enjoy yourself. But the body has its second, like, you know, person in command that says, hang on, are you sure? So that's the bit where we get the overwhelm, the uncertainty, the nervousness, the anxiety. All of these feelings are meant to make us think twice. but we have a superior intelligent brain. The middle of our brain is the emotional part, and it's doing the running around and getting, really like freaked out. But the bit at the front, your prefrontal cortex, that's the intelligent part. If you can calm the emotional bit down, then you can start to think straight. So I would encourage everyone to use their body, use their breathing to bring them back to a space where they are calm. So that's like resetting your stress response. So you take three breaths in, three breaths out, just even like you're watching the wave on an ocean. You don't want to go back to the erratic breathing, which happens when you're scared and terrified. So your body recognizes a very calm inner state. And when it does that, it can shut down the adrenaline and then you can think straight. So I like to encourage people to remember to not just breathe, but to breathe in a very regular, relaxed way. Deep breath in, might have to hold it for a bit, breath out, hold it, and start again. There are different techniques. The one I've just described where you're holding it at the top of the breath and just beneath the breath is called box breathing. But I would just say, don't even get wrapped up in, how do I breathe? Just remember that you want to trick your body into thinking everything's okay. And if you were not being chased by a lion, or you'd run away and you'd calm down, your breathing would go back to normal.
That's amazing, Joy. That's a really amazing insight into how we consider all these inputs in our daily lives and how we sort them out. And I think for many of our listeners and many of the people in our disrupted community, we're trying to figure out a whole bunch of things, but I think you hit on something. You know, what I've learned from this community over the past year is that there are so many bright people out there. I want to take just a pause here to share with our listeners and viewers here on Disrupt Ed how Joy and I met, across the pond, so to speak. I think over the past year, I've opened myself up to using technology in a different way and to create human connections. And so whenever I get connected with someone in a professional sense, I do some cyber sleuthing. And then with certain people, I just feel, wow, I've just read their bio. I've just heard them speak, or I've listened to some of the things they've posted. And this is someone I think I would find very fascinating to spend time with. And I've done this. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, I've had 100% success at this. It's crazy the number of people I've chosen to reach out to on a lark and said, hey, I just want to talk to you and get to know you and see if we can't be helpful to each other. And I meet the most amazing people. And Joy, you are one of those people. I think it's also important, both of us have been working on, clarifying our message to the people we're trying to help. What I was really struck by, Joy, is your notions of why you're doing what you're doing. You want to change the world and you want to change people's lives in a positive way. That's a big ambition. Tell me more about that.
Ron, you're letting the cat out of the bag. Yes, I do have big ambitions, but my big ambition is also very simple. So my mission, Ron, and I've shared that with you, before I came on today, was I just want to alleviate human suffering. That's my main thing. And then also that means bringing more joy into your life. So enjoying your life. I don't think I was given my name by accident. It's my middle name. And when I use a lot more nowadays in my life, last 20 years, I've used Joy so much more. But Joy was my family name, not really my name out in public. My first name is Karen. So Karen is a very...
You're definitely not Karen.
I know, she's a very sensible person.
Especially how we've turned Karen into a meme. You couldn't be further from that meme. So you are a Joy. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, they kind of like hijacked that name, Karen, didn't they? But it's okay. So I'm a Joy and my family it's a family name and that's what I tried to do. So alleviating human suffering is gigantic. And I think you can do that in any field. And all the amazing people you mentioned at the beginning of the show, Ron, they are doing that too. One person is doing it for food. I heard that. And that's just brilliant. But for me, it's about the emotional and mental health. So these things are very dear to my heart. More recently, because I've lost a lot of family members. And the first one that I lost was my son, which is a big thing for me. I lost my son Riaz J in 2018, and he'd been given a diagnosis of bipolar, which I thought, oh, I know a little bit about that. Let me read some more. And I thought, oh, he'll be fine. But it changed his moods, and he lived with it for a good year and a half, and I really felt he was on the mend, and then it all went very wrong. So he actually, I can say, reclaimed his life. Depends on how you look at the word suicide. Some people don't like using that, but he reclaimed his own life. It was his to take. But it was an earth-shattering thing for everybody in my family. We couldn't believe it. He was only 23, had a lot going for him. He was well-loved by everyone. But since then, I've read lots of stories from other family members who would say the same about their child. They were well-loved. You know, they seemed happy. So what went wrong? I would like to think that perhaps the diagnosis of the bipolar and the symptoms he was having didn't help, but who knows? It doesn't, that's not always the whole picture. He's gone now, which I accept. It's been a journey through grief and also accepting that he's not coming back. And then on top of that, I've had other family members die. My mum and dad, I think it's about a year ago, and my sister and her daughter the year before that. So I don't know if it's just my time of life, why I'm encountering this, or sometimes things happen to you for a reason. So I've turned it around, Ron, and I'm using it in quite a positive way to work with people who have suffered bereavement too, because I kind of just get it. I understand it.
Yeah, Joy, I can't imagine the suffering and the grief you've gone through with all these monumental events right on top of each other. You know, that's a sort of explosive grief in some respects. I think that's also, though, why the two of us connected. Our origin stories are very much connected because of, you know, as part of my origin story, my life was impacted greatly by my grandmother being murdered. And so even though she was older, she was definitely taken before her time and definitely taken in a way that no one could foresee. And I think those kinds of tragedies, the tragedy of Riaz J, the tragedy of my grandma Vicky, I think they've given us, in some respects, a renewed understanding of the complexity of life on both sides of the equation, joy and suffering, happiness and grief. And what I was so struck by as we began our journey together to get better acquainted is you have a powerful resolve to make sure that you are grounded on the path to joy and wellness and fulfillment. And I applaud that more than anything because you're really not too many years into just having experienced these events. And yet you posit such a positive and caring aura about you that I just have to applaud. And I think it's so powerful. And it's no wonder you're having an impact with business owners because you understand some of this monumental events going on in a very wise, way. I think those kinds of deaths, like your son, but also your sister and her daughter, you know, those are powerful because they're premature. They weren't expected. You know, you expect your siblings, to live long lives. You expect your nieces, nephews, your sons and daughters to live long lives. And so I think those experiences are ones that we have to take into account.
Yeah, but I would say, Ron, that, we shouldn't be surprised that people live and people die. We're born. We know there's a cycle of life, don't we? But I think we're so far removed from being around relatives that die in the home and they're being laid out to rest and then the body is taken away. We're so far removed from it. Sort of, it's been sanitized in a way that we don't see that. And of course it exists. So I think for me, it just brought it a little bit closer to home. And it made me realize, funny enough, it's changed me forever in very positive ways too, Ron, because this contrast between life and death and what do we do in the middle, it's made me really think about what I do in the middle, which is, you know, I just keep on trying to learn new things like you, Ron, you know, taking on board all the new technology that happens, all the news that's coming out. There are so many changes which are exciting. I mean, I can't dispute that they're exciting. I don't know how younger people feel about the pace of everything, because it feels as though there's so much happening. But I think if I go back, I don't think I had any major concerns about technology. It just came out and you used it. I didn't think twice about it.
No, but there are always hiccups with it. Well, listen, to our listening and viewing audience, this has been Disrupt Ed. We've been talking with Joy Langley about the power of turning stress into strength and the power of alleviating suffering by bringing joy into the world and by helping people to get on a path to wellness and a path to health and a path to happiness and purpose. Joy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this with our disrupted community. We're all looking for answers as all these things come flying at us. And I think you've given us some breathing tips, you know, how to take a step back and just take a breath. It's funny, I always get nervous when I open the show, and by instinct, I always take three cleansing breaths before I get on here. So you gave me a vivid reminder of the need for all of us to do that. Joy, are there any parting thoughts you'd like to share with our audience as we wrap up another episode of Disrupt Ed?
Well, I would just like to thank you, Ron, for inviting me on to the show. And I really appreciate that. And I just want everyone to remember that they do have some control over things in their life. What we need to do is focus on those and take our focus off the things that we can't. And with so much information flooding our way, you know, be it via the media or newspapers, radio, whatever you like to listen to, remember that it's not happening to you right now in front of you, in your living room, in your dining room, wherever you might be. It's not happening to you right now. And that thinking, your thoughts are really, really important. So be careful what you think. Be careful how you get carried away by your thoughts. And that's going to be the best way to go. So challenge your thoughts. I call it like having a coin. Think about, on one side, you might be facing a really terrifying situation. You've got these thoughts flooding through your mind. And flip the coin over and say, how else can I look at this? Is there an alternative way to look at this? And that's the way that I think is going to help you to put things in perspective. And it certainly helped me to put things in perspective.
I really, really appreciate your thoughts, your perspective, your wisdom, your gravitas, your resilience in the face of unimaginable tragedy, and how you've actually turned that into almost a muscle or a strength in helping to support others. So thank you for that. And thank you for the work you're doing. I know our Disrupt Ed community is certainly appreciative of people as they come on and help us to make sense of this completely disrupted world. This is Ron Stefanski signing off of another episode of Disrupt Ed. Join our community, subscribe to our newsletter, listen to our podcast, and keep sending us people you want to hear from and things you want our thought leaders to be helping you to better understand in order to take advantage of the opportunities that are out there, as well as to manage the challenges. So thanks for joining us again. Disrupt Ed. Talk soon.